and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 26. On this week's episode, we return to our Disney Movie Hour format, speaking about the 1942 classic Bambi. To my left, as always, is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
And to my right is Scott. Say hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Bogo. All right, that was Alice by Pogo. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix, and his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter for this show at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you will also find our group. Just add yourself to that, and we will approve you as long as you don't enjoy trying to sell Ray-Bans at a 50% rate. And then hop on over to iTunes, give a 5-star review, and we will give you a shout-out on the show. Hello, hello, hello. If you're wondering why I laughed before when Melissa said hello, I shall explain. Melissa is here this week, but she is recovering from some dentistry work, so she's got a little bit of a lisp. Whenever you try to say words, that's not even a lisp.
I hate you.
Say things.
No.
It's yes?
My S's.
S's?
My S's.
Which ones? Okay. So if she sounds, you know, like that, that's why.
I think this isn't like Sleeping Beauty or Snow White.
We'd have a little issue.
Yeah. That's it?
Shut up.
Shut up? Okay. On this week's show, we are going to say, as I said in the intro, we're going to talk about Bambi. We're going to go over the overall plotting of the film and then discuss, you know, finer points of it, whatnot. Have a little bit of history here and there as we're going through it. And get to our big three questions, which we've been doing for every film. And those are, does the film hold up? Is it a morals or an emotion film, or is it both? And what is the iconic shot in the film? What's the picture in your head that you think of from the movie? You know, when you think of this particular film or that particular film. So let's start off with just, you know, some little background noise on this, because it comes up very early in the film. There was a name in the credits. It was a special, you know, thanks to Sidney A. Franklin. And I was like, well, who is that? Because I had no idea who that was. Turns out Sidney A. Franklin is actually a producer and a director over at MGM. He had the original rights to the Bambi book. And he sold them to Disney in 37. And then the production on Bambi actually didn't start till 39. But he's actually, you know, that's why they thank him, because I guess really without him handing over the rights, it would have never happened. And it wasn't because he didn't want to make it, Franklin. They couldn't pull it off. It was too difficult. I would assume they tried to do a live action.
They did. They tried to do a live action.
Yeah. And that's a phenomenally awful idea. Yeah. So that must have been a really just a flaming wreck of stupid ideas.
Yeah.
So that is how it actually wound up getting into Walt Disney's hands. So the budget on this film is kind of modest when we look at what the other budgets were. $858,000. At the time of its release, it was a loss. It was another not really successful Disney feature, which kind of becomes a pattern, especially because we are talking about 42. You know, we are now in World War, you know, we're World War II, we're deep in it. Maybe people aren't looking to learn about coming of age stories of deer
also,
in the movie theater.
You lose the European market. You can't.
Yeah, there's zero European release.
So that doesn't help.
Yeah, that actually, I wonder, I should have looked into that. What is the percentage of a European release usually for these films when you look at the overall total gross? You know, because like bringing up a thing going on right now, Star Wars is obviously aiming for Avatar at $2.7 billion, and it's yet to open in China.
Yeah.
Which is at least, you know, possibly a billion on its own.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much if we went back and we looked at, like, say, the release of Snow White, what was the percentage of that return from overseas market? And then you can maybe get an idea of around where would Bambi stand in the overall mix of things. So, but to date now, the film has made over $267 million. Yes, Melissa? Yeah.
Well, it didn't take very long for it to recover its losses. In the re-release in 1947, it actually made up all its losses. So only 5 years for it to actually...
That's not bad. Yeah. I mean, that could be death for a studio.
True.
But when
true.
You've got a lot of, you know, irons in the fire, as it were, you know, you can kind of take a bump like that.
Yeah, and I mean, this movie was re-released multiple times to the theater. We got 47, 57, 96, 66, 75, 82, and 88.
88 was the last one.
That's the last one in the theaters.
What? I feel like these are coming around again.
I have a feeling.
I don't know why. I feel like the time is ripe. Yeah, I feel like the time is ripe for something to come around again with these films.
Yeah, well,
if they do some kind of 3D, you know, adjustment.
This hasn't been released on Blu-ray, has it?
Yes, it has.
On Blu-ray? Okay, because I found the DVD release, but I couldn't find the Blu-ray.
It has since, though. It's not in print anymore, though, I don't believe.
No, it's in the vault, right?
If you want to, it's like $40-$50, I believe, now. Yeah. Even the DVD, which I own, is like $55 going right on Amazon. So if you didn't pick it up before,
it came out March 1st, 2011 on Blu-ray.
And it's already out of circulation, though? That seems pretty early.
Yeah, it was. I didn't get a date of when it went out of circulation, but I know it definitely is.
They used to tend to put them back into the vault very, very quickly. I've noticed in the recent, 2 years, they've stuck around a little bit more. There's not that, get it now, 6 months, it'll be back in the vault forever, you know?
I think because they realize, well, if people can't get it here, they're just going to get it off the internet.
Yeah.
So what's the point of hiding these films if I can just download them off the internet? Great. Not that everyone does that, because as easy, quote-unquote, as it is, it's not easy.
Yeah. No, it's not. You know? I mean, if you don't want to own it and you just want to watch it quick, I was rewatching clips on YouTube. Of Bambi.
That whole movie on there.
I was watching.
Is that how you watched the movie?
Yeah, that's how I watched Snow White. Because I watched it at work. I watched it on YouTube. I own it.
Good job.
But when I watched it on my break at work, and I watched it on Nick.
Scott, how did you watch it?
I watched it on YouTube, but I actually own the Blu-ray.
What?
Yeah.
Were you sitting in bed or something? And
it just wasn't one of those. Yeah, it was just easier, with Connor was playing games on the TV, so I didn't want to kick him out to watch Bambi, and he's not really into that, so.
Yeah.
It was kind of difficult, but I think Bambi, I picked it up last year.
Okay.
Or the year before. Somewhat recently. Okay. So it must have been...
Must have bowed out.
Yeah.
But not with the fanfare as it usually did. You would see commercials, going back into the Disney vault.
Yeah.
Not like that, actually. That's a weird voice.
I didn't know, when I saw Aladdin was coming out.
Aladdin.
I was I lost my mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's with Bambi, I was like...
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. So there is some interesting changes from the book to the film, but not drastic.
No.
It's pretty close. This is one of those instances where the book is pretty close to what you get up on the screen. There's a little bit of a difference with Bambi's attitude at the end of it, sort of. Mm-hmm. He seems a little more stern.
Yeah.
But overall, the flow of the film, the death of the mother and all that, and becoming the great prince of the forest, that all is there.
Yeah.
Man is actually called he, though. That was an interesting difference that I found. They do not refer to, humanity as man, man is in the forest. They say he is in the forest.
Yeah.
Which is better. No, I don't know. I don't know if it's better. Well, evidently, it's pretty damn good, though, because I also looked at today, AFI, they always like to do their lists. They're obsessed with lists. They're like the BuzzFeed of films, I hate BuzzFeed. Anyways, they did the top 50 villains and heroines of film. It was number 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
somebody
20.
Else made a list, and it was number 3.
No, that means that could have been somebody on IMDb, a user on IMDb.
Okay,
yeah. But AFI, that's the one. I use AFI because they're the one, people generally do go towards. AFI had it as number 20. The only Disney character or animated character to be above it is the Evil Queen at number 10.
Okay.
From Snow White. Mm-hmm. But Man has the distinct honor, sort of being the only villain that actually never appears on screen.
Yeah.
The only one close to it would be the Martians from War of the Worlds, but you do see the hand at the end of the film. Outside of that, you don't see them. But Man, you never, ever see at all.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. Did you find where that original list you got from that was, Melissa?
It was something different. I did see the number 20 for AFI. This one was a different list.
Just like a user-generated thing or something like that? Anyways.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
So, all right, let's go into the director. I thought this was pretty interesting. David Hand is the supervising director on this. He was also a supervising director on Snow White.
Yep.
So this was his second really big one. And then this is kind of the end of the line for him doing features, to what I noticed. I have to double check, but it seemed like after this, he didn't handle the directing or the majority directing on any particular film. What really interested me, though, was the supervising animators. It was Frank Thomas, Milton Kahl, Eric Larson, and Ollie Johnston. So you see the nine old men really starting to become the creative driving force behind these films mm-hmm. when it comes to the animation and whatnot. They're no longer learning from the guys who, you know, were the very, very beginners. They are now the ones who are in charge.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. Did anyone want to talk about what's kind of very famous about Bambi, the way that the animators worked towards getting these movements right? For these creatures?
Yeah. I mean, you saw part of it in the last one.
The Reluctant Dragon.
The Reluctant Dragon, yeah. Where they went to zoos, I believe. That I'm not positive, but I know they brought in animals.
Yeah, they definitely
had brought
did
them
that.
In, and they studied their movements, and that's how they drew them.
Yeah. Yeah, and on top of that, they had a painter, Rico Lebrun. He was a painter of animals, which is the wording that I found. He actually would come down there and give them ideas about the structure and movement of animals and whatnot. And they actually did name the two fawns. They named them Bambi and Feline. I had no idea she had a name.
Yeah.
Until
I didn't either.
I had no clue.
You know what was an interesting thing I read that was a little different? The only other difference that I really saw from the book was they said that they changed them to white-tailed deers.
Mm-hmm.
They were roe deers in the book.
Yes.
And they're not native to North America, so they didn't... They wanted to change it to something that was...
So that people would connect with them more in the States and whatnot. And that is why some people speak English over their English... American over their English accents, which I always found weird. But that's how it was, especially then when you hear them speak British. You're like, why do they have that? And it's just so they can connect with an American audience. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so anyone else want to talk about any pre-production stuff or little odd things that you found out?
Not pre-production. I mean, I have stuff like after it was released kind of stuff.
All right, cool. I got some little things as we go along. So let's talk about the film. Scott, do you want to talk about the opening of the film or do you want me to do it?
Yeah, you can start it off.
All right.
Take it off.
Going with a familiar thing, we do start with a multiplane camera shot, which I don't know, I expect now. But this one felt denser.
Yeah.
Like there was more in it. It felt thick.
I think it was also because the movement of the camera was side to side. Even though it had that multiplane to it, you were moving laterally instead of into the frame. So it kind of gave you more of that forest type feel, you know, being surrounded by everything.
You didn't focus in on a thing. You stayed with that denseness, the multi-layers for an elongated shot.
Yeah.
I really liked that idea of it. I just like you were saying, I thought it gave it a very thicker feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you felt more in it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You felt a little more in it. I love the owl in this. For me, his face looks like Edward G. Robinson. I don't know why I thought of that when I was watching it. But I looked up who voiced him. It was voiced by a man named Will Wright. He was in The Wild One with Brando, Niagara with Marilyn Monroe. He was also in Adam's Rib with Hepburn and Tracy.
Oh, wow.
So he was not a light character by any means. And we really get the adorable animals thing here.
We do, but I did note they were a lot more realistic looking. They weren't the cute, round, fluffy things that we saw in Snow White. They did have more, you know, the rabbits were a little more streamlined. The squirrels and chipmunks in particular were thinner, you know, and didn't have the round, poofy faces.
Yeah.
The birds were more realistic.
The quails looked like quails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, yeah.
They were very, very animal looking. There wasn't much, what's that word I'm looking for? Anthropomorphic, where you make an animal look more human.
Look more yeah, like
is that
a person.
The right word?
Yes.
It might be the right word.
It might be, but I know what you mean. Yeah, they didn't give them human qualities. They kept them as the animals.
Yeah.
I think I read the only difference that they made with like Bambi in particular was they did move the eyes a little bit closer to make it look a little bit more human because being on the sides of the head would have been a little too weird.
That's a little bit weird, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, that would have been disengaging for everybody involved.
Yeah.
So we meet Thumper. who is voiced. Now, this was interesting, the voicing on this, because there were like many had two voices. Some say three. Bambi says three. Actually, Bambi says four.
It's
in
like,
some,
yeah, baby, really, adolescent, young, like,
and
yeah,
then adult. But then the adult Bambi voice is never. I could not get an official yes, that happened.
There was a lot of uncredited.
I actually got a lot of, we're not sure if this ever happened.
Yeah.
On the adult Bambi, because adult Bambi doesn't say a word.
He didn't say anything, does
so
he?
So they may have recorded audio at one point, but he just never says it.
Yeah.
Something that I'm going to harken back to as we go along with this. The structure of this film is shockingly similar to a film that we're going to talk about later. And it doesn't have to do with a prince of the forest. It has to do with the king of the jungle.
Oh, okay.
This film really, really molds out everything that you see in Lion King. Even though Lion King took its cues from a couple of other sources, this is really close also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I was noting the similarities between this and stuff we had already seen, like Fantasia, especially with the music and actions and things happening being set to music, and music having certain, you know, key components. We'll talk about it, you know, I'll bring it up. But I thought that that was really interesting, that I didn't remember it from when I was younger, how musical, yeah, how musical it was.
Something I think I've said every episode so far. I don't remember this at all. One of the things in particular with the music was during certain sequences, and again, I mean, I don't want to go through a line for line of what goes through the movie. I know that we've done that before, but this is another 70-minute film.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to go through. We were watching it for what I felt was 15 minutes, and then I turned, I was like, hey, we got 20 minutes left. There are action sequences or, you know, any kind of sequence where there isn't so much Foley work being done. The sound effects are implemented by the music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the lightning is not the sound of lightning. It is a cymbal crash.
Yeah, yes. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, and then the only actual Foley sound you get is at the very end, you get a rolling of thunder that then leads to the morning after. So I thought that was very interesting. We get that throughout the film where the music is the sound effect.
Yeah, for like a lot with the song April Showers, you know, the raindrops are like string instruments. There,
okay. There. So, yeah, in that case, what you were saying, it's very Fantasia-esque.
Yeah, definitely.
Very, very Fantasia-esque. Yeah. And so we meet Thumper. And, you know, as we said, you know, he obviously becomes a very big... He was voiced by Peter Bean, who was 8 years old at the time.
He's adorable.
Yeah. Thumper's cute. Yeah.
Thumper's my favorite.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like the character.
I like the younger Thumper. When he got older, I was like, eh.
No, see, actually, I'll get to that later. The older Thumper is my favorite animated sequence of the film, which makes no sense because it's the one. Well, we'll get to that when we get to that. We basically, you know, we meet some of the forest creatures, and then we're introduced to the birth of the new prince.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's very interesting where they call him the new prince of the forest, and a deer is a very elegant creature, you know, and he's the prince of this forest, which is in itself very elegant.
Yeah.
Where you compare that to Lion King,
and
it's a ferocious animal in a very rough, harsher environment, like visually and everything, especially later in Lion King. Obviously, it looks much more harsh. But I thought that was really interesting how they picked an animal. Well, they didn't pick it. I mean, this was based on the story, obviously. But the original story, which was written by Felix Salting, he picked an animal that matched the emotion that he was trying to tie to the environment that we were being sold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are no predators in this forest of each other.
Yeah.
No natural predators.
Yeah, the owl doesn't try to eat the mouse, which he should be. But that doesn't happen because that's not the thing that we're portraying here. The predator is ultimately, you know, humanity. That is really the only predator. So I thought that, you know, the choice of having a deer, it just fits the film very, very thematically well.
And even the drawing of the great prince of the forest, you know, he's very regal looking. And he's got, like, you know, the extra fur that gives him that stag, you know, appearance.
You know what? It reminded me of elves in... you know, Lord of the Rings fantasy. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They reminded me of elves. The way the mother was extremely well spoke, voiced by Paula Winslow, and you know, when we meet baby Bambi, he doesn't say much, but there is a voice credit for that. Bobby Stewart.
Yeah.
Did that, and then younger Bambi was voiced by Donnie Dunagan, who was also 8 years old. I thought that was interesting because it was the same age as the Thumper voiceover. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you kind of also have like the baby Bambi where he's like learning to talk, and I guess that's maybe where he learns the word flower and butterfly.
Yeah,
and
yeah, because,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then like when he's fully talking and he meets, you know.
Then that's Donnie. Dunagan. How do you think that's pronounced? Dunagan. That sounds a lot better, more realistic. Yeah. Little fun story about Dunagan is that after this, you know, way later in his life and whatnot, he became a Marine. And he obviously never told anyone that he was the voice of Bambi because he knew you would never hear the end of it. So this was a story that I found. It's got a couple of quotes to it. So, you know, I'll just say it in quotes and whatnot. Dunagan recalls, you know, I go into his office. He's talking about his superior when he's in the Marines. I go into his office and he says, "Dunagan, I want you to audit the auditors," which is a great line. You know, swapping other duties with someone else, Dunagan respectfully asked, "General, why do you think I'm going to have time to do all that?" He looked at me, pulled his glasses down like some kind of college professor. He had a big top secret folder in his hand and he says, "You will audit the auditors, won't you, Major Bambi?"
That's awesome.
And then he hands in the thing, and immediately he's like, "Ugh." So that was, they then called him Major Bambi. But he kept it a secret for quite a while. But I guess if you go into the Marines, you're pretty much asking for that to be found out.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Major Bambi.
So let's talk about his first word, actually. I thought this was pretty interesting. His first word's a bird.
Yeah.
Bird.
I did like this whole time, like when they were teaching him how to stand up and everything. It was a really interesting balance between we're going to laugh at you and make fun of you, but we're still going to be your friends and help you out and get you through this. So it wasn't like we're going to make fun of you and deride you and put you down. It's like we're going to laugh at you, but it's okay. Come on. Like,
yeah, it's a laughing with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the mom scolds Thumper, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the mom always scolding Thumper. What does your father say?
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
I wrote down, though, first words of bird, mother's not present, pretty much raised by rabbits.
Yeah, yeah, that is pretty accurate.
That was my note on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not remember that Flower was named by Bambi.
That I did remember.
I didn't remember that either.
Yeah, and that is voiced by Tim Davis, Flower, the young Flower, who then later in the film voices the adult Thumper. The voice acting in this film is an absolute crossword puzzle of trying to keep up with who.
Maybe everybody did every voice, and they were just like, "Well, let's see, this one sounded best."
Yeah, and then the young Flower voice was Stan Alexander. The adult voice was somebody that he didn't have a lot to do. He only had like 3 or 4 lines, but that was Sterling Holloway.
Yeah,
which he sounds like Sterling Holloway on his first line.
But then that's like,
and then doesn't really sound like Sterling Holloway after that. Not the way that you think of him. Sterling Holloway, just in case you don't know, I'm sure most of you do. He was a Cheshire Cat, and the like. So I thought that was really, really interesting. We go into the April, as Melissa was saying, the little April showers, and yeah, I wrote down no sound effects except for the music. The first soul, yeah. You know, for, again, the first Foley sound is the thunder that breaks into the sunrise.
Yeah.
You know what? I have, I don't know, 100-something songs on my Disney playlist. This is not one of them.
I didn't remember how musical this thing was.
I didn't either. Yeah. Like when the second song hit, I was like, okay, I didn't know this was even in here.
Yeah.
So did you guys enjoy that? Scott, did you enjoy that? I mean, how so far, we're about, what, like 15 minutes into the film?
Yeah.
How are you enjoying Bambi at this point?
It's entertaining, but it's... To me, I don't know what it is. It just seems like the voices and the way that they're moving, it just seemed like everybody was like in slow-mo. You know what I mean? Like sometimes the way they were talking, you know, like okay. Thumper especially.
Yeah, like when Thumper
was talking, yeah. And then like, I guess it's because most of the time it's Bambi and he's moving around. He's just learning how to do things, but it seemed longer to me than it was.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I had the same feeling. It was only, what, 70 minutes?
Mm-hmm. 70 minutes,
and I felt like it was 700 minutes watching that movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, yeah. I did. I thought it was much longer than it was.
700?
No, that's an exaggeration. Maybe 75 minutes.
No, okay. All right. Melissa, where were you at this point with this film?
I mean, right now, this is the film that I remember from when I was younger, and I remember liking this part a lot. I thought it was really fun with Thumper. I loved the whole flower thing. Mm-hmm. I remember not realizing that Thumper was a boy right away.
Okay.
He's very effeminate.
Yeah, very feminine.
Well, they all kind of are. They all kind flowers. Of do. That actually, even Bambi.
Look,
is.
If you just showed me pictures of this film, like as a kid, and it's just sound clips or whatnot, I would think Bambi is a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see that for Bambi, but
it's
I knew
even
Thumper.
Bambi. You know, it's with an I at the end. Yeah. You know, I don't know. It's a little more feminine.
Doesn't sound Prince of the Forest.
Yeah. It should be like Bambo.
Yeah.
Bambo.
That's a different movie entirely.
Rambo.
That one's got the Rock.
Yeah,
that's a good clip.
That's a good clip.
Yeah,
Rock is Bambi is a good.
Can we
good.
Put that up on the site for the picture?
No. Wait.
No. You know what I thought though was there was some things in this particular part that was really kind of grating on me. That's kind of the word that I would use. The voices, I kind of agree with Scott, started grating on me.
You mean the way everyone talked like this?
What was it? Little Prince or Little Prince? Like everyone. And I was like, oh no, that really grated on me a bit. I think the whole Bambi trying to get up, walk around part was great.
Yeah.
You know, the animation is fantastic. And he looks, you know, the movement and everything, it looks really, you would think it was, you know, the way it was animated.
It looks great.
It looks great. But yeah, the voices really, really, I thought were a little much.
That didn't bother you though, Melissa?
No, not at all.
No?
Okay. I mean, that bothered me to the point that I'm like, I'm turning this crap off. But it was, you know, it was.
Because what else are you going to do at work?
What else am I going to do at work? It was on break. It's on break time.
After that little April shower sequence, we get the mother walking around now with, we could call him adolescent Bambi. Is that kind of where we're called on this one?
I don't know if he's
toddler Bambi.
Yeah, this is kind of like young Bambi.
Younger Bambi.
Yeah.
We
he's
have
not
baby,
a baby.
Not baby Bambi. Yeah. This is young Bambi.
Because adolescent is when he gets
that's
the
right.
horn.
Adolescent is the next one, yes. And then adult is when he's silent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really weird to me. especially because they meet, well, whenever we meet the Prince of the Forest, he has such a voice
mm-hmm.
that I thought we were going to get that from Bambi at the very end, but he doesn't. I'm really wondering if that was just cut out. As she walks him around, we're introduced to the dangers of the meadow.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, don't go out into the meadow. That's not where we go.
A lot of foreshadowing here.
Yes, but what I really... this was something I really, really loved. They talk about the openness presenting a hazard to the animals. Mm-hmm. At this point, If you go into this movie blind, which I try to do, like even if I know what's going on, I try to imagine, like, what if I had no idea what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I would think they were talking about, like, a lion or something, like a predatory animal that hunts deer.
Well, I guess in a forest, I can't think of anything beyond, well, maybe like a mountain lion, but, like, because in North America, like, we don't have lions and stuff just running around. So, I mean, it is kind of...
I wouldn't watch the film, though, and go like, oh, this is North America because that's a white-tailed dove. And I wouldn't think that.
Yeah, you were thinking more like a bear or...
Something. Yeah. You know, something that presents danger. My first impression wouldn't have been like, oh, they're talking about humans.
Yeah.
I would think they were talking about another, you know, animal character that's going to talk and is going to try to kill Bambi, just like in 100 other films.
Yeah, but this was the first animal one of its time, besides Dumbo, with...
By Disney.
By Disney, yes.
Okay. Let's not
what
say
we're focusing on. And I don't know, they already set it up, like, the deer is, like, the prince of the forest, so I don't know. I don't know. It never crossed my mind that there would be another animal.
I that's how I would have... I thought that my brain would have taken it that way, possibly. I don't know if I would have went directly towards the man. Oh, it's got to be man. I don't know. I just that's just me. We get introduced to Feline. Is that the right name?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Feline. Yeah.
And this is voiced by Cammy King. A lot of, you know, people that I looked into their IMDb's and, you know, they did a lot of, you know, everyone in the 30s, they did like 1,000 movies.
Yeah.
But you maybe only heard like 3 of them, you know, because everyone was, they were doing movies every week because that's all it took. You know, back in the day, it was a lot. strangely, it was a more complicated process, but quicker to do stuff because you couldn't do as much.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning of film, the camera was the equivalent weight of a tank. Not really. You know, you couldn't move the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was so loud, you had to have casing over it so that the sound guy wouldn't get the brrrr of the film and stuff like that. It was nuts. So it's really interesting to look at, but it's a madhouse of insanity, like anyone who made a movie back then. So where are we going from there? You know, we get introduced now to the adult prince of the forest.
Well, actually, I was going to go before we see the great prince. We meet all the stags, and, you know, Bambi's observing their habits.
That's right.
And it's, like, again, very Fantasia, a choreographed battle to music. You know, they're butting heads, and you got the cymbals clashing as their heads butt. So, I don't know. I made a note that this was very Fantasia-esque to me.
And then they mimic that later with the fight of Bambi and, never really named, but the other deer.
Yeah.
The other male deer. But we get the line, man was in the forest. Man was in the forest. Was that how it sounded?
Closer.
That's pretty close, good. Right?
Yeah.
So now we know this is our villain, is us.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know how a kid would react to this. I'm really curious how a kid in the current day, I know that's a question towards the end, but this is where I started thinking about this. I was like, I feel like this might go over kids' heads.
I feel like nowadays it might actually be better because you get a lot more of that conservation and blah, blah, blah nowadays, you know, and don't hunt till extinction and everything like that. I don't know if kids will, maybe it will go over kids' heads, but I don't know. I felt like it was a theme that for nowadays might be a little bit more accessible.
Okay. All right. I can see that, actually. All right. No, actually, I agree with that. I agree with that. Do you want to talk about fall?
Going to talk about another foreshadowing
here. Go ahead,
go
nuts.
Because this scene, it very much mimics like the later winter scene. You know, you have, yeah, it does. You know.
It's actually the same. There is a shot later also that is mimicked. It's not sort of mimicked. It's mimicked.
So you have Bambi again getting separated from his mother. Well, for the first time, they get separated. She can't find him. He can't find her. And the great prince is the one that kind of saves everyone and shows them where to go and then reunites Bambi and his mother and gets them into the forest safely. So I just thought it was interesting that, again, like they kind of get, you know, separated. And
yeah. And then the second time doesn't. But did anyone think that this is where the mother got shot?
I did. The first time. Yes.
I did too.
I did.
I didn't remember again. I didn't see these movies when I was a kid. Yeah. That's all there is to it. I did not see these movies as a kid.
I thought that was it. I was like, oh, it's going down.
Honestly, from what I remember when I watched it when I was younger, I thought that she got shot like in the beginning of
exactly. The movie. I thought that too. I thought it was
like the first scene.
15 minutes into the movie. And I'm like,
it's like up all over again.
She's alive for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's about, I want to say it's almost,
I think it was about 40 minutes into it. I think it was about 40 minutes. I looked, because I looked when it came up and it was about a half hour left. Yeah.
That's a far chunk into this film. That, it is. You know, I'm thinking of Lion King again because it's so similar. I would say that's probably about 20, 25 minutes in. So you save about 15 minutes, but then you got a lot more movie afterwards.
Yeah.
Where in this, it's almost really the kickoff for the third act.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the inciting incident in this film. The inciting incident is birth.
Yeah, there is.
There really is no inciting incident.
Yeah, that's the thing. There really
is. It is an odd film because you don't. You know, the inciting incident is supposed to be the thing that kicks off the rest of the adventure, and this would really just be him being born.
Yeah, in this particular film. Yeah, it's just a story of him coming of age story.
Yeah. So what do we have next, Mel? What do you want to talk about, or anybody?
Oh, well, now we're going into winter, right?
Well, we go into fall first. It's the fall into winter.
Yeah,
it goes very quickly.
This, I thought, was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I thought this was unbelievably gorgeous. All the colors that are going on in there. And I did sort of, I mean, look, this is reach, but I do tend to reach on these things. I know the mother scene is going to be coming up soon in our future in this film. And it was interesting how It's almost the introduction of grass, of life, that ultimately does lead to the death of his mother.
Yeah.
You know, so as one thing is born, another thing is going to, you know, die as a result. Because that's why they're out there, right? It's winter. She sees a little bit of grass. She calls him out. And then she looks up and she says, run, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Well, because they showed you the hard time that the deer's, especially Bambi and his mother, have been having getting
hard food. Times, baby. Hard times. You know, Dusty Rhodes.
They initially start out with all the other deer and they can get the bark off the tree, but then they show you later on it's just Bambi and his mother.
Yeah.
And now all the deer have already stripped all the bark off.
You know what they should have done? Eating a rabbit.
Yep.
Deers don't eat rabbits.
I don't care anymore. You don't know that for a fact.
Yes. They don't have the teeth.
I will find out if one day, if ever in history a deer ate a rabbit. God, I hope it's true. I'll be so upset if it isn't. So now we get our scene. They're running away.
Oh, we missed the best part about winter.
Okay. Oh, the ice thing.
Yeah, the ice skating with Thumper.
I gotta be honest, I kind of blanked out at that moment.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute.
I was like, yeah, I got it.
Again, with the music, you know, the
yes.
drum roll.
No, it's very sweet. It's a very sweet film. This movie didn't hit me on all firing. I don't know why.
Because it was cute and adorable.
So's Dumbo.
Well, we'll get to it
at
the end.
Wait, no, time out. I'm going to tackle that comment first. I'm sorry, did you just say that to me as I am the dude who came up with the idea for a Disney podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, so I make sure I figured all that out, all the steps in that.
Okay.
No, it's not that. I think it's... I don't know. There was just something that didn't grab my attention as much as Dumbo, which Dumbo... Outside of the mother dying, again, this is kind of similar. Yeah. You know, it's a very similar structure.
Mm-hmm.
The picking on of Dumbo obviously is different and whatnot, but the overall structure of the film is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I was more invested in the character of Dumbo.
Yeah.
And you know what you can say? Dumbo's a cuter character.
Yeah.
So if cuteness is the thing that throws me off, Dumbo should have been so saccharine that I would have given up 20 minutes into that film with putting my hands up and saying, yes, I get it. He's cute. I don't know why. Bambi did not get me. I was more interested in the older Bambi.
Do you think the transition, because I felt like each transition between, you know, seasons and time, it was like a little, not jarring, but it was a little choppy.
So, but I agree with Pete. This did not hit me. This is as the other Disney movies have. I think for me the problem was the beginning, like we said, like the first 40 minutes, it's very like melancholy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very all the same kind of, you know, he's just discovering stuff and he's with his cute friends in the forest and all that. It really picked up for me once he meets Feline again as a whatever he is, an adolescent or whatever he is at that time. And then he gets into the row with the other deer.
Oh, you mean when the three friends are walking together, yes, one behind the other, and in a flip of things, the two friends find like love first, and then he bumps into the girl that hasn't seen him for a long time, and they go running through the woods.
Yeah.
That thing? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Lion King is going to have some problems when I get to it, because I love that movie, but man, there is really not a whole lot of originality going into that film now that I'm starting to look at it a little more. Mel, you were saying about jarring.
Mm.
I think, tell me if I'm right, you might be referring specifically to this. So we have the ice skating thing. Then we get the winter and the mother being shot. One of the most recognizable scenes in Disney, in animated history, maybe in film history, the line of "Your mother can't be with you anymore."
Oh, I was going to say him crying out for mother. That was the most heart wrenching.
You're 100% correct. That's part of it too. Yeah. You know what? I put it all together.
Yeah, that whole
That mother. Yeah, that kind of thing. Absolutely fantastic. Great acting.
Yeah, brilliant.
By a young kid. I mean, that's really, really good. And then the Great Prince of the Forest is actually voiced by Fred Shields, that your mother can't be with you anymore. That's a hell of a line. We then immediately go into, let's sing a gay little spring song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Deary
that
time.
Was really jarring.
That is.
I felt like these were like acts of a play, and there was just like, here it is, here's the next one, like, go.
And there's no intermission.
Yeah.
But there was no 20-minute intermission to get you from like when the Phantom drops a chandelier on a defenseless old man to, you know, having a masquerade party. There wasn't a 20-minute intermission.
Yeah.
It was just like, your mother can't be with you now. But let's sing a song. Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
It was really weird.
That was, yes.
That's also a really long title for a song. Let's sing a gay little spring song. That is Meatloaf level.
That is.
Of song length. So, very weird. I wrote down jarring. I actually had to look up the word jarring. I couldn't remember the word I was trying to look for. So, we meet up with Adolescent Bambi. This is now voiced by Hardy Albright. Had over 30, this is what I was referring to before, had over 30 film appearances in the 30s and 40s.
Wow.
Did not do anything in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. He was tired.
He was like, no, I'm not doing it anymore. We get basically, you know, the whole gang's here. You know, the whole gang is basically brought back together. I really like the way that Thumper looks older.
Yeah.
He does.
But like, cool older.
Yeah.
He's the cool teen.
He looks kind of like Bugs Bunny.
Kind of does,
There's a bone structure to his face that I really thought of the early Bugs Bunny cartoons. I was like, oh, wow, that really kind of looks like him.
Yeah. He's got the exaggerated whiskers. And...
Yeah.
I love how he introduces himself back to Bambi. He just jumps up on the log and he's like,
yeah, I thought he was, I liked this scene a lot. I liked, again, this was the portion of the film I really liked. I don't know, maybe for me this film works better as a 40-minute film and not 70, you know, or 50, something like that. Maybe that's something like that for me. You were saying you weren't a huge fan of the older Thumper, Melissa.
No, I didn't like his voice. I like the cute younger Thumper and the, you know, what is your problem? No.
You guys are sharing some of the voice today.
Yeah. That's why.
You are. It might be why.
That's what it is. You're connecting. My favorite sequence of animation, though, comes with Thumper. It is him falling in love.
With the Lola bunny?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. My God. Wow, that really is. That facial animation on him is spectacular.
Well, even like the unrealistic when a flower gets kissed by the female and he turns pink.
Yeah.
Like one of the only unrealistic like things in that movie was.
That is true. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, he turns pink and.
Yeah, there's
falls
not
over.
A lot of messing around with stuff like that. There's not a lot of cartoony moments in this cartoon.
Yeah. That was like the only one that I can think of.
This sequence, because then like the female bunny has a lot of rouge and eyeshadow on for some odd reason. She's got a lot of makeup.
Hey, why not?
So.
Yeah, and the supervising animator on Thumper was Travis Johnson. Also Frank Thomas. So I'm not sure who did what things, but it's really hard finding out who did what. And you know, I'd have to really, really search into it because everything's so uncredited.
Yeah.
Like, everything is uncredited. But I'm sure that there's a book of Bambi out there that will tell you all this stuff.
It's gotta be.
Which I should have maybe found, but those books are expensive. So, all right. So that was my highlight animation wise, even though there are gorgeous sequences in this film.
Mm-hmm.
The next one coming up very, very quickly, the battle of Bambi versus the other male deer.
Mm-hmm.
This was unbelievable. It almost looked like it belonged in a different film.
Yeah, it definitely did. That's what I noticed when
really,
I was watching it.
Really, really great looking and felt dangerous.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you don't usually get that in a Disney film.
No, not at all.
Even when your characters are in quote-unquote danger, this felt dangerous. I seriously thought, I was like, does he lose?
That's the thing. Like, I could not tell for a good majority in the middle there who actually won until, like, the very end. And I really liked that, like, they kind of kept it hidden, you know. And again, it was just, you know, it always is, like, the block coloring, like, oranges and greens and reds, just, you know, shadows and stuff. And then the music with the cymbals and everything.
There was a very, I mean, like, it's incredibly refined, but I don't know why. In my brain, it looked like very rough. Like, it was a storyboard, and they were just doing, like, heavy colors to show, like, what they wanted to do. But then they decided to leave it. They were like, no, don't clean it up. Don't make every line, you know, don't make every shade perfect. Like, have it mixed up, you know, have it a little bit. It's just visually very, very arresting. My favorite sequence in the film by far.
It reminded me again of Fantasia when they did like in the beginning with the color blocking and the you know, to the music.
Okay. The instruments.
Togata and Fugue.
Yeah, yeah. Just the very abstract kind of shapes and stuff. It almost reminded me of that.
Very cool.
It's kind of like they were experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, really expensive experimenting. But yeah, no, this you can see in a lot of the techniques in this film. That's the from a technical standpoint, this movie is incredible.
Yeah.
So the animators were totally, you know, nailing every second of this film.
Mm-hmm.
The issues that I have with the pace of, or whatnot, that's, you know, that's a side argument, but there is no arguing the quality
of the animation
of this film, and, it's just limitless. So what do we have next? What happens next in our story?
Well, now he wins the battle. So him and Phelan,
yes.
They go a-frolicking.
A-frolicking they will go. So now he's woken up by the prince, right? The great prince. Bambi is woken up by him.
No, you get the scene. Smoke? You get the scene with oh, yes. You get the scene with the campfire.
Yeah.
At the man's camp, and then you see the woods start to catch fire. He's woken up by the smell. No, this is the scene is with the with Phelan, and she gets chased by the dogs.
Yeah, but what previous to that is he's woken up by the smell of smoke. The great prince says, "Man has returned." I think is what he actually says.
Oh yes, okay. I'm sorry.
And
yes.
During again that separation of characters,
yeah,
that's when the hunting dogs, you know, the shots start going off again. Everyone starts getting
the hunters hunt everything.
Everything.
Yeah, I wrote that. I was like, was they weird. Are shooting everything.
Well,
right
that's
now.
Where they shot the whatever it was. Was that the quail, the pheasant that came out of the bushes?
It was a pheasant.
They were shooting chipmunks and things that I wouldn't think that normally hunters would hunt.
I thought that was a great sequence, actually. The bird, or pheasant, however it was, being terrified into trying to flee. And that's the explanation. Like, that's the logical explanation for why a bird would fly.
Yeah,
you know,
instead
thinking
of being
like
quiet.
I can get away from this is when everyone else is like, no, just stay down.
Yeah.
You know, and then that happening sets off a chain reaction of panic.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed that immensely. The third portion of this film really, really hits for me on all cylinders. Then we have Phelan being chased by the pack of dogs,
mm-hmm.
very violent looking dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting again, you know, this is not a creature of the forest, and all the other creatures have that touch of, as you were saying, majesty,
mm-hmm.
or regalness or something, you know, that kind of magical quality. The dogs do not have that.
No.
And they are, you know, animals. They're animals just as the other animals in this film are animals.
Yeah.
But they are depicted in a more untamed, though they are tamed.
They have a rougher look.
They have a rough, they have a rough.
They're more wild, which is weird.
Yeah, they have a more wild look, and that's weird because they're not wild.
Yeah, the tamed animals are more wild than the wild animals.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It's a really good point. So then we get, you know, the great fire starts to spread and burns everything in sight.
I did make a note here, as the fire is spreading and kind of going through the forest, it has that musical quality of when Maleficent's thorns are popping up everywhere, and like as like the music and the cymbals crash, then the thorns appear. So in this one, it was when the cymbals crashed, the fire came up, you know, around every turn they would go, and it would be like, no fire, cymbals.
Oh, remember that for when we get, because we're going to approach that quicker than we think.
Yeah.
So remember that for then. I'd like to go back to that and remember that. Man, they burn the hell out of this forest.
Yeah.
There's no more forest left. They literally, they leave. They just pick up sticks and leave.
Yeah.
And that's how that sequence ends.
Everybody's on the floating island.
You know, Bambi has his secondary heroic moment fighting off all the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, this is the moment I thought you were talking about, because he's laying down, and then the great prince comes to him and says, get up. You have to get up. That's what I thought you were talking about.
You're totally, I didn't even get to that. I'm sorry, yes.
Okay.
We get the whole fire sequence.
Yep.
Again, fire
bad.
Engulfing the world around them. Lion King.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's not a he fights off the dogs, and then he's jumping across that ravine, I guess we could call it, or, you know, little creek or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He gets shot in the air, and I mean, like, he may as well have been Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
And Mickey yes. comes over. He's like, get up.
That's exactly what I was
is that what you
get up. Get up, you SMB, because Mickey... Yeah, and that's not exactly what I thought in that scene.
So that's... I don't know if that's where he got it, but God, I hope so. And he gets up. Yeah. And he, you know, he this happens in the book as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he is shot, and the Great Prince is like, nope, we gotta get moving. Kicks him, and then they move along. So, but it's an odd ending to that sequence. When you think of it, like, Bambi doesn't chase man out of the forest and save the forest. They don't make a fire brigade where you see tortoises carrying buckets of water. Where, look, you would see stuff like that in a lot of other Disney films.
Yes, yeah true.
God, I feel like Zootopia is going to be nothing but those. I really hope that movie turns out better than my brain is telling me it's going to be.
Did you see the sloth section?
I did.
Okay, I didn't know if you saw that.
It was funny.
It was.
I was there 5 minutes later then, and I'm like, mm-hmm. But I really loved the animation on the girl, whatever she is.
Yeah.
Fox?
I think, yeah.
Do you
see squirrel? She's a squirrel?
Bunny?
Bunny? She was a bunny? Whatever. She's a bunny?
That's the one who's...
Lola Bunny?
Who's voiced by Jennifer Goodwin.
Oh, yeah. Dumbo. I'm sorry. If they ever do a live action version of Dumbo, they can use Jennifer Goodwin's ears. Look, let's all be honest.
What were you saying, Scott?
I was going to say, you think they had to do that sort of scene, which is odd for something like that to happen just because it's a deer.
It is a deer.
You know what I mean? Like, they had nowhere else to go. They couldn't he's not going to chase hunters out of the forest. He's a deer.
Well, this is the first that I can think of so far. Like, realistic. It's basically, it's a very realistic movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the reaction, is they're going to flee from the fire. They're not going to go run.
That was the one thing from the start of this movie that I never understood. But I guess going from the book is why they did it. But
why? Wait, what part do you not understand?
The part that he was born a prince. You know what I mean? It's like, he's a deer. You know what I mean? When you think of something that's royalty, you think of power and strength, and
but that's the whole thing going towards the theme of the forest. Right.
And I think it was why Pete made a great point before. Like, they're akin to elves. You know, they seem more majestic, and regal, as opposed to think of like the Lion King.
Yeah,
like they're more like orcs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They got a king orc, but they're rough and tumble.
Yeah,
I also did like when they first had the mother explaining who the great prince of the forest was, and she said he's the oldest. Because he's like learned how to survive, which could be escaping from man's danger. So the fact that he tells Bambi, like, get up, we have to go. It's like, this is how we survive. We go. We don't fight.
It is interesting. He never calls him father.
No, but he doesn't know, until that first scene in the meadow. That's the first time. It seems like it's the first time he lays eyes on the kid.
No. After the birth, it pans up, and above them, above Bambi, baby Bambi and the mother, above them is the great prince.
Looking down.
But I meant like where he interacts with Bambi.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
He's very standoffish. Yes. He's
that's the first time we hear, and you don't even hear him. Does she even say that's your father? I don't even know.
Come with me, my son, when
the mother's dead.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone leaves. Mm-hmm. They're like, enough of this. We're going to get out of here. And then we kind of fast forward.
Yep.
You know, we fast forward again. And, you know, Melissa, like you were saying before, there's like the repeat. Oh, by the way, what I was saying before, almost the same exact framing. When the great prince of the forest says, your mother can't be with you. If I remember correctly, when he says get up, it is the same. It's almost the same exact framing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Of the great prince, you know, filling up the screen and saying, delivering that line. But now we get another one. We get a repeat of the opening scene. Again, really, Lion King takes everything from Bambi. It's kind of nuts. I mean, it's a Hamlet story. Macbeth.
No, Hamlet. You're
right. Oh, no, I was right. It's a Hamlet story, Lion King, but man. They really took a lot of cues from Bambi, a lot of cues. So now, you know, we basically meet the gang, and they're older.
Everybody's got babies.
Did Thumper and Flower's wife, like, make it through the fire? Like, what happened there? Because did anyone notice they're not in the closing scene?
I mean, and they must have made it, because you would assume that
they would have had babies.
Yeah.
But they're not there.
They're stay-at-home moms.
Really weird.
They don't want to meet the
new
princess.
Maybe they were like when Bambi's mom was never with Bambi, you know what I mean? Maybe they took a cue from her.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Why not?
Maybe there's wanderers.
They're wanderers.
You know what? Actually, I guarantee you there is something like that's an actual way that like rabbits in the wild work.
Yeah. Well, I think it was interesting in the beginning when the rabbits were going to meet Bambi.
They were with the mother.
They were with the mother.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Never mind.
And Flower was always by himself. Nobody liked Flower.
Oh.
I felt bad because he was never with a mother or brother or sisters. He was always leaning Flowers by himself.
Have you seen the happiest?
He did.
Yeah. You know what that means? Family's annoying. So that's Bambi.
That's it.
You know, we see the birth of his son and daughter twins.
I thought it was cute that Flower named his little one Bambi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I'm really curious. I know there's a Bambi too, but I'm sure it's not that good.
No.
It's a Maliloquy or something like that.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's basically the in-between time of Bambi's dad raising him.
Oh, okay. All right. So it happens within the course of Bambi.
Yeah. So it's not a prequel. Gotcha. It's not a sequel. It's a
I'm really curious about the future. Oh, Bambi. Like, what happens next?
Yeah.
Does he go back and try to find them? The hunters.
Well, that's what the rock Bambi does. Yeah.
That's what the rock does.
That was what Bambo did.
Bambo.
That's right.
Oh, good Lord.
We got to write up a script for that. Bambo.
Just you know, another little note. Bambi did earn itself three Oscar nominations. Number one, Best Sound Recording. Surprised didn't win. Should have looked up what won. Best Music Original Song for Frank Churchill and Larry Morey for Love is a Song. And Best Music Scoring of a Dramatic or Comedy Picture. My God. Word picture. Just always makes me laugh. And that was also Frank Churchill with Edward H. Plumb. So there we go. That is Bambi. Let's jump into question number one. Does this film hold up? I am going to start with Scott.
I don't believe so.
Ah,
no.
All right. Reasoning. I want reasons.
I just think, I don't know. It's difficult to say. I mean, I guess with the conservation type thing nowadays isn't so much for deer, I think. You know what I mean? It's more extinct or almost extinct animals.
Okay.
You know, so I don't think a lot of the things would hit home with kids today.
You don't connect with deer anymore because deer sometimes are being... people are told to hunt deer because of overpopulation of deer.
Exactly. So I don't think the whole villain being humanity would not really take... You know what I mean? It wouldn't take...
What you want to see is kids now?
Right.
You want to see the movie where Bambi is a villain and man is the hero.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Bambi's going into people's backyards and he's, you know, going through the garbage and, you know.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm all right with that. Melissa, does this film hold up?
Well, it's actually interesting because back in when it was first released,
that's why we asked the question.
Hunters did actually speak out against this because they were like, you're making us into these villains and we're doing, you know, a good thing. So it's actually funny that, you know, nowadays.
Were they twirling their mustaches while saying that?
I don't know. Did you know that Bambi was used by like the national parks before Smokey the Bear to talk about forest fires and stuff like that?
That's cool. That fits.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Did he speak?
I don't know. Maybe it, that's where it, one of those uncredited voices.
I'm really curious.
Oh, that's a good point.
I want to find it. I want to find those commercials and see if it's an adult Bambi. Don't look it up now.
Okay.
I want to find out, you know, if that's an adult Bambi and if that's when he voiced Bambi.
I think it might have been a child, but I'm not 100% sure.
I wouldn't listen to a child.
I would think they would use the adolescent, the young Bambi. The toddler Bambi.
Probably did.
Be like, shut up, kid. Set this thing on fire. Just like in the movies.
I don't know. I do think it still holds up. While it's probably not the most enticing to watch, like, I don't know if I would ever say, like, hey, let's sit down and watch Bambi. I do think quality-wise, I do think story-wise, it's still really good. You have that component for younger kids, you know, with the fun, like, you know, ice skating scene or, you know, him learning how to talk and misnaming things. And I think that animation and things like that, music, obviously, it has really good quality.
Okay. Brian? Same question.
I kind of have a similar answer to Melissa's. I think animation-wise, it definitely is. It's just a beautiful movie. And I think that it holds up. And the animations, the fluidity with which the deers move and stuff, it's really remarkable the way they capture them, because they really move like they move very realistically. From a story perspective, I don't think it would really hold up as much. I don't know if it would hold people's attention as much.
That's what I was going to ask for, the clarification.
Yeah.
Not that the story doesn't work. You don't think it's going to hold attention.
The thing is, yeah, I don't think it would hold it hold the attention as much. It's a very – it's a slow-moving movie, I feel. Anyway, I think it's a very – It's a slow movie. I think it's a little like pizza. I think it's a little on the long side. At 70 minutes, which sounds weird, I think it's a 40 to 50 minute movie. You can get in there and you could cut out. I would like it reversed, where there was more of, I was along the same lines as Pete with the adult Bambi and the adolescent Bambi, as opposed and shorter side with the young Bambi.
For me, I guess I'm going to kind of echo pieces of what everyone has said so far. As an artistic accomplishment, it's absolutely stunning. It really, really is. It's a beautiful movie. It's eloquently drawn. It's beautifully directed. The sound design is really impeccable. I don't get interested in the film until about 40 minutes into it, 35 minutes into it or so, I guess, would really be the accurate time, because it seemed that it was just a very long intro for a character that doesn't really ultimately change until he's not on screen.
I think that's like the interesting part, because like the part that you guys are saying is very long is the part that when I was younger captured my attention, like the young kid stuff.
Yeah, I wish I could see it through the eyes of a child. I can't though.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't have a history of this film when I was younger. So just for my personal, you know, reaction to, does it hold up? I think it does, but I also... Like, when I see the sequence for the Gay Little Spring Song, that kind of comes off as filler to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, they were trying to get to that feature length, and this was one of the things they came up with.
Well, it's kind of like when we were talking about Dumbo with the pink elephants,
which feels like a very long sequence.
Yep.
In a film that I felt was very snappy in its movement, that came to a screeching halt for me during that sequence. And it also absolutely kills the moment of the mother dying. I think it absolutely, well, I know I'm saying it stupidly, but I really do. I think it kills that moment, because you instantly go into that song.
Yeah.
Well, you should have had some sort of role into it, or just don't have it. You know, let me see. Give me 5 minutes of the older Bambi as an adult wandering the forest and checking on everybody and almost kind of like taking small roots and becoming that great prince and this and that, and maybe even chasing something off that he thinks is a man, and then the great prince telling him that's not what you do. You know, we don't go to them because we cannot do that. You know, I don't know, something like that would have meant more to me and would have been better to the transition of that second to third act. Yeah. Beyond that, though, it's undeniable that the film still works from a story perspective. Whether or not you get a little disinterested, maybe, I think that is really, really subjective to the type of person you are and what you're looking for in this film and all that kind of stuff. But if you just want to sit down, if you go into it from just a pure art state, like, you're gonna be really excited.
Yeah.
Because I'll say right now, I do not think that they could pull off this animation today.
No.
Hand-drawn. I don't think they could.
I think it would take too long, and I don't think they would invest in that.
I think that I wonder if some of the techniques are lost to time. There's a really big issue with that happening at one point, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the techniques that were used at one point, if they're not documented correctly, which a lot of things then were and weren't all at once, you could lose those things to time. Let's go to our second question. Do you feel this is a morals film, or is it a film aimed at getting your emotion? Melissa, why don't you go first on this one?
I'm going to side with it's heavily morals. I do think there's an emotional you know, obviously a huge emotional component to it. But I do think that the whole man is in the forest, man is a danger to animals if he's not careful and things like that. I do think that that's a big part of it. And also, you know, you have the Thumper with the silly morals of, you know.
Well, what would your moral be? Like, if you had to say, like, this is the sentence of the moral lesson that Bambi is trying to get across.
I do think it would have to be man is a danger to nature.
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness. Okay. You know what? It fits in the film. That is a hell of a thing for your moral to be, though. Yeah. Scott, same question for you. Emotional film or moral film or both?
I think, like Melissa said, there's aspects of both, like most films. But I think for me, it's more emotional. I think it's more trying to get you to feel that coming of age, you know, things happen when you grow up that you can't change, you know, that type of thing. I think it's more of that. And then, like you said, if you had more of that 5 minutes of him as an adult, you know, where he's learning how to be, a leader or a king, you know, I think it's more of a emotional.
Brian, hopping over to you.
Yeah, it's definitely a mix of both. I mean, there are some moral lessons in there, especially like you said with Thumper and the mom. She gives a couple of tried and true kid lessons. Don't say anything. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. That type of thing. And also, there is that. I think it's unmistakable that there's that man is dangerous. You know, to nature. It's not. I don't know if it's overtly what they wanted to do, but I mean, the message is definitely in there. But I think it hit me more like on the emotional level in terms of it's a coming of age story, like Scott said. It's about, it's his journey from a baby to a young adult. And, you know, I think that's what the crux of the movie is about. It's about his transition and learning to deal with all the things that come along with it.
I'm pretty much in line with what you just said. I do think there are morals to the film, but as every movie, somewhere has a moral. But to me, the larger portion is the coming of age, of the dealing with things that are inevitable in your life, the loss and birth, and, you know, just trying to understand your place in the greater scheme of things.
In the circle of life?
In the circle of life.
As I was saying that, you yelled at me yesterday.
Did I?
No.
That's because I told you not to talk because your mouth is still healing, so you have to don't talk.
Sure.
So that would be where I stand on that. And let's go to our final question. What is your emotional... what is the iconic shot of Bambi? Do you guys mind if I go first?
No, go right ahead.
I'm going to go first. This, for me, is... If you were to... Okay. This was a tougher one to get, actually.
I agree.
Than I thought.
I agree.
Was harder for me to pick out.
Because there were too many or not enough?
Because it is a film filled with gorgeous scenes, but nothing that stays for very long.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
a
great way to put it.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
and nothing that screams Bambi.
There's nothing where, like, Belle is running, you know, through the high grass and she stops.
Right.
Like that, you know, like if you stop that, there are always moments like that to me where it's as if everyone says, okay, stop.
Right.
Just for a second, let that moment go in. That didn't have this as much. In my opinion, maybe I missed one, but for me, it is a wide two shot of the Great Prince of the Forest and Bambi standing across from each other in the snow, and that is when he, you know, basically says, "Your mother cannot be with you anymore." I will put this picture, as I always do with the iconic shots, I will throw them in to the thing afterwards. But yeah, it is the shot of the Great Prince of the Forest on the right side of the frame and Bambi looking just meek and tiny and scared on the right side of the frame as the snow is falling following the death of his mother.
Yeah.
Who wants to go next? Raise your hand. Brian.
I love that picture. That's beautiful, the one that you have. That's really great. I actually want that. Like, I would love to have that.
It's a nice frame. This would be something that I would get from this film.
Yes. I had a very tough time also with this because there's, like, Pete said, I don't think there's any like real it's not that iconic shot in anything, and it does, it transitions fast, but one that I see a lot, and that I always when I think of Bambi, is one of the first ones that comes to mind, is when he is learning about the different animals, and he's learning the words, and it's the butterfly on his tail, and yep. he's looking back at the butterfly.
Yep.
That is something that I'd always like, if you, one of the first images of Bambi that pops into my mind when I think of Bambi is that.
That's the DVD cover art, if I remember correctly.
I believe
well.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just, to me, that's like the most iconic, yeah. you know, like that kind of plays to everything, the innocence of him and, you know, the discovery and stuff.
And that's where his bloodlust for butterflies starts.
Butterflies, yeah.
Why don't you get a taste of butterfly? Can't resist
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can't. That stuff's good.
Melissa.
I actually had a toy when I was little. I think it was from McDonald's, a Bambi with the butterfly on his tail.
Oh, really? Oh, with the head turned and everything?
Yep. But so, it was a blue butterfly.
Is that what we're going with?
It threw me off. Close. Because that shot is good, but I also remember, because it is like a slower shot, it's when he's in the flowers and kind of like comes nose to nose with flower, with the skunk, and they raise up together. Like that shot.
Okay. All right, I'll find that, and we'll make a thing of that as well. Scott, what is the iconic shot for you of Bambi?
For me personally, it's kind of awkward. It's Thumper.
Oh, all right.
When I was a kid, and even now, I associate Bambi more with Thumper than I do with Bambi as a deer.
Yeah.
It's actually when you know, his mother scolds him, and he does that like, "Oh shucks," kind of look.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's my scene.
Okay. All right.
That's a little off the wall, but...
No, you know what? That's fine. That's good. I'm just happy we didn't all say the same thing.
He's the voice, pretty much, of the movie. He's the one that has the most lines, I think.
Yeah.
I would think he does.
I imagine so.
You know?
Owl might
be near second place, but that's
married,
it.
Because he's kind of married, but not really.
And if he does, his is very compact. It's,
yeah.
Owl's scenes are like... It's all in one or two scenes where Thumper's is spread out and what throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that scene with the owl, just that's my favorite scene. When he's talking about
not falling in love.
Yeah. He's like, you're walking around, you turn around. And
anytime I see owls, though, I think of The Secret of Nim, and that's the type of owl that I picture.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
We got to talk about that Don Bluth crazy 80s.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's some Don Bluth crazy 80s going on. After he left Disney, he was like, let's do this.
Yes, he went dark.
Let's get dark.
I love that movie as a kid.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. What's up next? Saludos Amigos?
What's up next, Mel?
Saludos Amigos?
If we can find it.
Don't we have that on our DVR?
Three Caballeros.
Oh, do we really? Oh, that's Three Caballeros.
Yeah.
God, that one's good.
It's very good.
Maybe. If we skipped Saludos Amigos, because really that would... We're not going to do both because they're this
very similar
for connection into the parks.
I think Three Caballeros
attraction.
Yeah, so. Three Caballeros is the thing that's in the park right now.
Okay, yeah. So is that the next on our timeline then?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool. So Three Caballeros is going to be next, which no doubt includes one of my favorite songs ever.
I love that movie. Like,
do you?
Oh.
You know which song I'm talking about though?
No.
I can't remember the name of it. That's why.
Wrong.
A lot of it's not in English.
What is it?
The Carmen Sandiego sort of song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What song is that?
Oh, I don't know. It's Spanish. I can't. But yeah, when she's singing through the street.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. I love it. That. Love it. All right. That's going to be next. By the way, I like that scene. Spoiler or something. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Actually, Brian.
Yes.
Do you want to bring up that iTunes page? I got to read a couple of reviews, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me grab that.
Why don't you do that really quick? And I will just give everyone the background information. Right now, you're listening to Alice by Pogo. You can find this video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo, his music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix, and his home web address is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, search for Disney Magic Hour. You'll find a little group there. And head on over to iTunes. And drop us a 5-star review, and we'll read it as I'm going to eventually read it now. I don't know. Oh, no, I remember that one. Not the last three?
Last three. No, okay. I wasn't sure if it was the third one.
Pretty sure last three.
Okay.
First review, thank you so much. Thank you so much to all these, everyone who's done a review before. Mac J. Roy, where have you been all my life? Obsessed with your podcast, guys. I love the Magic Hour. Binge listen to every episode in like 2 days, and the film basement is just pure gold, too. Thank you. So, knocked every one of those out in 4 days. Really? 4 days?
Wow.
My God, man. Or woman. That is a lot of listening, especially the film basement.
Yeah.
My goodness. This was like 3 weeks ago. Oh, wow. For real, you're all fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for creating the type of podcast I wanted to hear. Keep talking Disney. Your opinion stuff is definitely my favorite. Actually, I really wanted to read this for a reason. Top blank, like your top three Pixar shorts and your top places to eat is definitely the best, and discussing your opinions on recent Disney news / experiences. I would like to sprinkle those in again.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. All right? Yeah.
But I really do like when we do the top shows. And we are going to do... You know what? We're going to do this next week. I don't know what the hell category is going to be, though. So thank you very much for that. I had one, and then I was like, I don't know if I want to say that. You know, I want to do the underrated, but there are too many blind spots in the crazy 70s and 80s for me.
Well, that might be somebody else's then.
Yeah, but I feel you should have that knowledge. Mm. I feel okay. You should have that knowledge. It's kind of like saying, what's the best crime film? Have you seen Scarface? No.
Nope.
It's like, then your opinion is a little tainted, because not that, you know, the answer isn't the good, you know, Godfather Part Two, but you know, it's that you should know all the options available in order to then say,
yeah,
these are, you know what, we could say animated films.
Yeah.
If you want to narrow it down to just the most, the top five underappreciated animated films, I can fill that list up quite, I think, diligently.
Yeah.
So you know what, you want to do that?
I think it'll work.
All right, next week we're going to do top five underappreciated films, and that is all thanks to Mac J. Roy, so thank you very much for that. Next one is Irie? As in Irie? I hope so. Great for film buffs. Discovered this podcast after hearing the host interviewed, on a different Disney podcast. Thank you so much, guys, actually, for like reaching out and being cool with that, because, yeah, I didn't know if that was going to suck or not, because... I don't know if I'm any good at this crap. So thank you very much. It was really, really appreciated. Love the in-depth reviews of each Disney film, and hope for very more. Let the glitter bomb fly, Pete. And then I got Mario Susi, best podcast ever, along with Film Basement. Wow, another Film Basement, another Basement Dweller. Yeah. That's a shirt I want, Basement Dweller.
Oh, that's good. That's
good, right?
That's good.
I get bringing to design them.
Yeah, Basement Dwellers. I live in Miami, Florida. Hey, we'll be close to you sooner. Well-ish. It usually takes me an hour to get to work and an hour to get home. Instead of getting frustrated surfing satellite radio, I now listen to this little gem of a podcast during my commute, and I actually look forward to sitting in traffic. Thanks to the very cool crew making my work week brighter and my drive to work, quote-unquote, magical. Oh, and thanks for introducing me to Pogo. Absolutely.
Nice, good.
May the force be with you. Wow, good finish there. Strong finish, my friend.
Wow, good job.
So thank you guys so much for the kind words. It'd be even more amazing. Start sharing this show. Share it on Twitter. Share it on the Facebook. Just, you know,
Tell your friends,
phones, and just hit subscribe. Honestly, they won't even know. It's fine.
No, I did it to my mom. She has no clue.
Yeah, I did. It's a couple people I work with. I don't care.
Okay. Kyle's definitely subscribed.
Yeah, Kyle subscribes. Yeah,
no. Lord. All right, now I'm kind of...
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm getting a little depressed, actually. So thank you so much, guys. Hope you enjoyed this week. We will be back next week for a top five.
I think for that is that'll work. Definitely.
So say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Pete. Say goodnight, Pogo.